Hi, and welcome to the Provider Podcast by NHS Providers. My name is Adam Brimelow, and I'll be leading us through what winter has in store for the NHS alongside our annual NHS Winter Watch campaign. In this episode, we speak to Heidi Smolt, Care Quality Commission's Deputy Chief Inspector for Hospitals, and Debbie Ivanova, Deputy Chief Inspector for Adult Social Care, on the approach that CQC are taking to inspections at this very difficult time, the rationale for them, what can be done to minimise intrusion and infection risk, and to share learning. We also talk about discharge and adult social care, and steps to create capacity safely with partners. We hope you find this a helpful discussion. You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers. And keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you. So, it's certainly been the case that in recent weeks we've heard back from quite a few trusts with concerns about the continuation of CQC inspections while we've got these pressures as a result of COVID and winter. I mean, this is a really tough time for trusts, isn't it, to be facing inspections?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we say up front that we absolutely recognise the immense pressure that the whole of health and social care system is under at the moment. And that's why we're using our position to really, our immediate priority is to really help build capacity across the system and really respond to risk where it's showing that there's an impact on patient care, where we can be helpful in driving effective change in the system.
So what's the rationale, Heidi, behind these inspections at these time and doing them in a way that's not unduly intrusive?
So there's a number of aspects. Predominantly, we are, as you know, we stopped routine inspections at the beginning of the pandemic, and that position still absolutely stands. But on top of that, we continually review our priorities and adapt our approach depending on the pressures in the system. And we've obviously done that very recently. So we've obviously got a responsibility to ensure we respond to risks such as significant whistleblowers and that we fulfil our purpose. But we recognise that that needs to be really balanced with us thinking about all of the aspects we have available to us to get to the bottom of risk, and where inspection is needed, that we're really clear that we focus the inspection in a way that it's only going on site to get the information we absolutely need to go on site to do. And there's been some examples recently, very recently in the last couple of weeks, where actually a chief executive has thanked us for our approach in making sure we considered as much as we could off-site, but the actual inspection helped them really focus on what the risk was and then get the necessary support from the system to mitigate that risk. So some of our inspections have absolutely been helpful in being a really valuable catalyst for getting the support that the providers need.
And I suppose in managing that, there's not only the concern about potential intrusion for trusts and frontline staff at this busy time, but there's the actual infection risk that's entailed by this type of approach as well.
Absolutely. And obviously we do have risk assessments, all our staff are tested, we have the appropriate PPE in place, and we are very mindful that we only send the number of people on site that we absolutely need to get to the bottom of risk and respect the position that, you know, we recognise the pressures in departments, particularly emergency departments, which, you know, might be smaller than some other areas we go into.
You mentioned that positive feedback that you'd had from a trust chief executive. What are you doing to try to make sure, as far as possible, that this is a supportive and constructive experience for trusts? And how do you share learning of what's actually working well?
And that's a really good question. So we are really thinking through how we consider our position in a proactive way, as well as obviously reactive, as I've described. But even where it's reactive, how we can make sure that we're feeding back that learning straight away. So the inspection I was just referring to, we inspected on one day and then a couple of days later had a meeting with NHS Improvement and really thought about how that trust could get the support they needed to mitigate that risk. And we're working with weekly at the moment, we're working with the national team at NHSEI, and the regions are working really closely to make sure we really think about how we can reduce the burden on providers on a broad spectrum of ways, so that they're not feeling like they're having to do things twice.
And just to be clear, we're not just talking about hospitals here, are we? Presumably this is also for community services, mental health providers and ambulance services as well.
Absolutely. So we're responding to risk wherever that risk presents across the whole system. We're doing Mental Health Act inspections. We're doing responding to risk. We're obviously doing inspections to ED departments. So yeah, this is across wherever the risk comes up and we feel it needs an inspection, the response will be exactly the same.
I know one area of concern is around nosocomial infections. What sorts of measures are you looking to see in place to address that particular problem?
So we did a number of calls. We did calls with all providers across July and August last year to really see how they were assuring themselves on infection prevention and control. And that did identify some concerns, as have some inspections we've done. So it's a focused inspection, well led, that's really looking at how the provider themselves is assuring themselves on infection prevention and control and making sure that staff are supported as much as they can be to maintain IPC in such difficult circumstances. So it's much more a focus on well-led with infection prevention and control.
And presumably the lessons you're learning are being shared and offered to other trusts in terms of developing good practice to roll out in other places as well.
Absolutely. We're constantly thinking about how we can drive improvement regionally and nationally. And that's where working really closely with NHS England and Improvement is absolutely crucial, because they can obviously share the learning across providers in the work that they're doing during this really pressured time.
Now, I know there's been a focus in your work with Patient First. And I wonder if, first of all, you could just remind us what it is and why it's so important for this winter season.
Yeah, absolutely. So Patient First is a fabulous example of where a group of clinicians have come together during a time of pressure to really think about how they can get some practical solutions, a new resource really fundamentally done by clinicians for clinicians. So it's a group of senior clinicians working with us to really think about how they can help other colleagues across the system, but also importantly, guidance for senior leaders and the system in how they can help the urgent emergency care flow, infection prevention control, reduced ED attendances, staffing and treatment generally, so that it's system working to ultimately affect better care for patients. On top of that, there's also been a toolkit developed to support a framework as one way a trust could monitor and assess against Patient First. And I think importantly, what that work's done is the start of recognising that the problems they're facing now aren't new predominantly, but they've been brought into sharper focus during COVID. And it's a real opportunity post-pandemic to use that work to think about how providers can be supported to really tackle the long-standing issues within hospitals and across the system for urgent emergency care. So that's a good example of proactive support for everybody.
And what sort of pickup and feedback are you getting on that? How helpful is it proving?
From a digital perspective, there's been a lot of views of the document, but it's been a really positive response. We've had hugely positive response from the system. We've also worked with the Royal College and I've presented there to make sure we're working as closely as we can and aligned on key messages. But when we've inspected, there has been some examples where the clinicians are fully aware of it, but the executive teams may have not grasped it in a way that it can genuinely help them at this current time. So that's where the toolkit came from, to really encourage trust to use it and learn from it.
Heidi, thanks for that. I wonder, Debbie, if I could bring you in at this point, because I'd like just to talk a little bit about discharge and adult social care and the need to create capacity safely. What measures are in place to protect the vulnerable elderly patients coming out of hospital settings over winter?
One of the things I think I'd like to start by saying is actually that COVID has shown us it's not just older people coming out of hospitals we need to be alert to, but people with a learning disability and disabled people who will also need that really tailored and supportive care. And what we have also seen is there's been some real issues about finding the right placement for people with dementia and how tricky that is when you've got the added complications of COVID around that. So one of the things I think that's a real dilemma here is because we really understand the urgent pressure on the system and how important it is to get people out of hospital and moving as quickly as possible. But it's also really important that providers should only admit somebody into their service that they're confident that they can meet their needs and provide that care for people. This means sometimes there's a bit of a tussle going on about who can be discharged and to where. But it's not just about having good infection prevention and control, the right PPE. It's also about having the right workforce, the right skills and the right knowledge and the right registration of that service to be able to care for the people that they're being asked to take. So we will support providers to make those decisions and make those decisions within the context of yes, this is urgent, but there is no point taking somebody if you're not able to meet their needs. So I think creating capacity safely is about making sure the right people go to the right places for their care. And one of the things that's been introduced this winter is the designation scheme, which has been set up for a real specific purpose. And that is to take people who are returning to residential care or who will be going into long-term residential care who are COVID positive. So they are for a very specific purpose. They're not step-down beds for people who are going to go to their own homes. They're really for that group of people. And I think one of the things that sometimes is a bit of a misunderstanding between health and social care is just how complex and varied the adult social care sector is. Not all of the services that we regulate will have the ability to separate out a wing or a floor. Everyone won't have their own bathroom, so we won't be able to have that situation where every service is suitable to take people who require that level of support that people need coming out of the system. So we are working as quickly as we can when things come through to us that could be suitable for people who are COVID positive coming out of hospital. And we go out and we inspect and we have a look at them through the IPC, through the infection prevention and control lens, to make sure they're able to do that. So we check that they've got the right systems and processes in place, but more particularly, have they actually got the ability to separate out and care for this group of people in the right place? Have they got a staff group that can be dedicated to work for people as they come out of hospitals?
It sounds from what you describe as if this is about building a trusting, collaborative partnership endeavour in order to create capacity safely. Is that the correct description of it? You're helping to foster that partnership working that's so important, because it's clear that additional capacity is needed, but it needs to be safe.
I think that's absolutely right. I think one of the positive things that COVID has done has encouraged people to think about the system as a whole, and that adult social care is an equal partner to the NHS and has a really important part to play. With that equal partnership has to come equal respect and that ability to talk together to make the decisions and to plan how to best meet those needs. And that's where the local authorities come in and are really important. But actually, loads of the services out there aren't necessarily commissioned by the local authority, and many of them are private and only take private funded people before. And those services are now being recognised and their place in the system acknowledged.
Now, I'm not sure whether this is one for you, Debbie, or for Heidi, but I just wanted to touch on provider collaboration reviews and what they're showing about mutual aid and support in local systems thus far.
I haven't been involved in all of the provider collaborative reviews, but those that I have seen have really shown that where systems were set up well before COVID, that actually those have made a huge difference to how the system has worked during this period of time and how they've actually worked together. And there's been some really important, I think, developments where understanding of how both sectors work for each side of it has made that real difference about how people are able to move through the system effectively. I don't know, Heidi, whether you've got sort of other insights you can add to that.
As you say, Debbie, I think they've shown that where there were good relationships, those relationships were strengthened really quickly. But there have been some really, really good examples across systems where mutual aid, where understanding each other's pressures have been really come to the fore. I think the important thing is there hasn't obviously been the time to assess the impact and where that impact's been positive and what therefore can be taken forward in a system more widespread at the current time and in the longer term, obviously. So I think there's some really positive learning coming from them.
Heidi Smolt and Debbie Ivanova from Care Quality Commission, thanks very much for being part of this NHS Providers Winter Watch podcast.
Thank you.